welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning in a passage of Scripture. We'll take a look at a few passages of Scripture together. I think as we look at them together, we'll kind of see kind of a theme coming out of it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, it says, "You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you and do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." All right, we're kind of familiar with some of these powerful, unconditional love scriptures that Jesus has given us as he's instructing us in the Beatitudes here. Here's another truth, though, another important message that we get from the Word of God in our new covenant, the Apostle Paul speaking to the Galatians. He says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Brethren, if a person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, should set him right and restore and restate him without any sense of superiority, with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also." Okay? If you look at these two passages of Scripture, they're powerful truths, and we can look at them as they stand on their own, okay? But this morning, we're going to look at these two powerful truths together, because I think sometimes as Christians, we can get in a bit of a dilemma sometimes of situations, relationships, stuff, issues, things that are going on, to where we realize the ideal, which is the Word of God, that when we deal with situations and people, that there is a forgiveness, there is a turn the other cheek, there's a kindness, there's a pray for, we don't get vengeful, we don't get retaliatory, you know, we have the supernatural agape love that we're shining, okay? And yet, there are situations when the Scripture tells us that it's okay to confront some situations, to confront things that might come up. And a lot of times people will say, "Man, if I do this, I'm just going to be a doormat. I'm going to be walked over, all right? Turn the other cheek, come on. What's the balance here? Is there just this one side?" Well, this is, you may have to forgive and pray. Yes, we forgive and we pray and we do good. Yes, we absolutely do all that. But there's another truth also in addition to that truth, that there can be a situation when somebody is overtaken in a trespass that it can be right and appropriate to have a time where you're going to confront a situation. And I would say that, again, a lot of times as Christians, we deal with things where we feel like, I got to forgive and that's okay and go on. And I can never confront anything. I can never deal with anything because I'm afraid, you know, I got to turn the other cheek. And so sometimes we run into a dilemma, I would say, as believers, where we don't realize that there are times when it's okay and it's right and it's appropriate to confront stuff, okay? Now, in the title of the message this morning is simply this: when is it time to confront, all right? Now, this is talking about this morning, when is it time to confront, all right? This is obviously a big subject. I'm not talking about all the exhaustive nuances of how to confront and all that. This is the timing of when is it time to confront. I'm forgiving, I'm blessing, I'm doing good, and there's some things that are going on. When is it time to confront some things. Now, Jesus said, if you go to the altar and your brother has aught against you, then leave your gift at the altar and go be restored to your brother. Now, we know what that's like. You've clearly done something wrong and your heart is condemning you. You just got to go get it right with the person. That's one thing. But many times what we're talking about is when they've done wrong to you. And a lot of times this can be confusing in every evil work, where it's like, no, you've done wrong to me. No, you've done wrong to me. You know, that's kind of what we deal with a lot of times in real life. So it's not that clear cut, go leave at the altar because you know you did wrong and you're coming clean. It's sometimes more complicated than that. And as you're going through life and you're dealing with relationship stuff and relationship issues, there's times that you have to begin to deal with stuff. And one of the powerful things about these kind of things is that they will cause you to have to pull into God in a powerful way. A lot of times when it comes to confronting, you'll see a couple ditches. You'll see that extreme ditch. I can't ever confront. It's checkmate. I've tried to go there before. I'm just no way. And, you know, and you kind of stay over here, and this can get even to areas of depression and different things like that. Because it's just, I can't deal with it. I can't confront it. Then you can have the other ditch where it's like chip on the shoulder, over-confronting every little thing. You know, I'm not going to be weak. I'm not, and it's just kind of like you begin to think and talk and blurt. So you can have those two extreme ditches when it comes to the timing of confrontation, whether it's never or always, all right? Now, I wasn't really planning on preaching or teaching or ministering this morning. I was preparing for a little happy Thanksgiving service, all right? So I'm just trusting God has some direction and purpose behind this. Because this is where we live, you know, and we live in our, we got that, it's not just like some idealistic pie-in-the-sky theology, it's the Word of God. And we reverence the Word of God. We reverence every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, not certain select ones. We take it together, and we look at how do we do this? How do I navigate some of this stuff to where I'm not coming into these extreme situations, but I walk down the middle of the road as it relates to confronting people and situations and things like that in my life, okay? Because this is stuff that we've all had to work through, all situations. You know, all of us have our own situations and relationship stuff that we deal with and confront and different things like that. And so we're going to walk through that. And again, this is the timing, all right? We're going to talk about timing. God can show you when that Galatians 6 thing comes. But I'm going to give you a little warning ahead of time. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. All right? The Amplified, you who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit should set him right. So, a lot of times, the timing of that confrontation is the time that it takes for us to get spiritual. It's going to be the time that it takes to get you in the right place to where you're really speaking in the right spirit, and in the right way, the mind of the Spirit in the matter. It's not that we don't ever confront. We confront. It's just that you who are spiritual, there's some work that goes on in our heart that prepares us to confront. Spiritual work. So, when is it time to confront? All right. First, after you confront yourself. All right? After you confront yourself. This is the way Jesus put it. He said, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, there's a lot in there. You know, first of all, he's just saying if you're going to go speck finding, first, get that log out of your own eye. A lot of time, if there's that criticalness, there can be a lot of insecurity behind that speck finding critical thing. Sometimes there can be something there too. But this is what Jesus said. He said, first, get the log out of your own eye. In other words, if there is a speck in your brother's eye, but there's a log in your own eye, you're probably not seeing it right. You're probably not seeing it clear. Okay? But then he says, He says this. He says to get the log out of your own eye, but then he says it with a promise. He says, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Amen. Could you still be used to help bring correction? You will, but the log won't be there. I like this. Here's just kind of a picture, two pictures side by side. It's the same picture, all right? As you're looking at this, you can see on the clear picture, it's a picture of Big Ben. But on the other side, it's like it's something. You can kind of make out a shape or a form. But when you got a log in your own eye, now I wear contacts. And if you get something in your eye, if you wear contacts, it's just, it's blurry. It's hard to make out stuff. And what Jesus is telling us to do is he's saying confront things. Get the log out of your own eye. If you've got stuff you're living on top of, if your conscience is condemning you over stuff and you're trying to see the other person right, you're not going to see him right. You're going to see a blur. You're not going to see him accurately. Your own conscience will affect you. That's why the scripture says, if you sow to the flesh, you'll have the flesh reap corruption. You sow to the spirit, you'll have the spirit reap life. Part of the corruption that you reap when you sow to the flesh is it puts a blur, it puts a log in your eye. It distorts how you see things. It can cause you to be jaded. You can be so mad because that person said and did this. First things first, before you run off and confront yourself. Make sure that your heart is right. Make sure your heart is clear toward God. Now, I'm not saying you're perfect. We're all growing. We'll continue to grow until Jesus comes. But I can tell you one thing that can be perfect, even though you're not, is you can get your heart clear. You can get your conscience clear before God. And that's where we're instructed. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It means you get refreshed by the precious grace, blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse your conscience. All right, what are we doing? We're getting spiritual. We're preparing to confront, but we're starting with ourselves. We're saying, okay, we're doing this right. We're getting our heart clear. We're getting our heart right, okay? And let me say this too. It's not just about what you, when you're getting your heart right and your heart clear, it's getting your heart completely right and completely clear. You know, I had a version of that scripture, you know, if you sow to the flesh, you'll have the flesh reap corruption. You know, you don't reap according to what people know you've done wrong. You reap according to what you sow. You don't reap according to what you get caught sowing. You reap according to what you sow. I don't care how well you can hide something. You reap according to what you sow. Jesus wasn't sinless because he was never caught. If Jesus was just a perceived sinless person because he never got caught, there would be a blur in his blood that wouldn't be able to cleanse us from sin. He was pure. He was right. There was something powerful about the precious blood of Jesus Christ that made him qualified to pay for our sin. And there's something still powerful about the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse our conscience from dead works, that can reconcile the books with God, that Bible reading and good works can't. They can bear fruit, but they can't reconcile those books. That's grace from beginning to end. Humbling ourselves, receiving forgiveness and cleansing. And it is simply going before the Lord and saying, Heavenly Father, you see the situation I want to confront, but Lord, I want to get this log out of my own eye. I want to get any junk out of my heart, out of my mind, things that I'm doing wrong. Father God, I put it before you, before the altar. Lord, I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me. I want my conscience restored toward you. You know, just first things first. You know, and then you begin to look at some things differently. There's also another powerful work of forgiveness in that too. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, that's all of our situations. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So we see that there is a flow of mercy and grace. In other words, before I confront, I'm confronting myself in terms of getting my heart right, that I've confessed, I got my conscience clear before God, and I'm forgiving, even as God in Christ has forgiven me. When it's time to confront, when God says it's time to confront, that doesn't mean, okay, now I can stop having to forgive and lay into this person, finally. It's not what we're talking about at all. You who are spiritual, remember? You who are spiritual. So it's not that you stop forgiving and now you confront it. No, you maintain a forgiving heart. You maintain that tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness. And I'll tell you, the way Colossians puts it, it is just theological checkmate for anything you want to try to wiggle around. You can't. If anyone has a complaint against another, all right, it's all of our stuff. It's all of our hurts. It's all of our offenses. And this is part of getting spiritual, but you realize this is what will empower you, ultimately, to be able, by the Spirit, to confront stuff. And so what are we doing? We're on purpose. You know, yeah, there might be something you still need to confront, but you're still actively forgiving the sin of whatever that is. You're still actively putting on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. You're still actively bearing with one another and not laying into them, but bearing with. And so there is an active, on purpose, intentional forgiving. And this isn't, I just want to say this, as we're talking about the theological concepts of this, don't think that there is something really, something just like really earth-shaking or just something really glorious or, you know, special. When we're talking about this stuff, it's you by faith just declaring those things from your heart. Father, I said this, I did this, it was wrong, I confess it, and I receive forgiveness by faith. Father, they said it, they did it, it was wrong, and I on purpose forgive them even as you have forgiven me. It doesn't have to be loud. It doesn't have to be tones of voice. You don't have to feel anything. This is faith. Yep. Come on. This is undramatic, simple response. You don't have to feel it. Doesn't have to be anything super profound. Now, if the Holy Spirit does something super profound or whatever while you're doing it, great. But to do this word, it's just simply by faith doing it. Sometimes we can get in our head about trying to prepare to do it and all and things and feeling and lining and nothing. Just say it by faith. God honors his word. And when we see these words, you know, we are just by faith, Lord, by faith. I'm feeling a certain way, but by faith, Lord, as the elect of God, I put on those tender mercies. I'm a new creation. They're there. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart. I don't feel it. Don't need to feel it. I'm going to faith it. And I'm going to begin to declare, I forgive, even as you've forgiven me. I just want this to sink in this morning that it's not dramatic. There's nothing. It's just faith. It's faith and trust and believing. It's not a hype thing. It's a faith. Say, Lord, I trust you in this. God will respond to that faith. God will respond to your heart when you just begin to, by faith, declare, confess your sins, and forgiving others. And it is important, too, when you do confess sin, that you don't just stop short at confessing it, but you go on to receive the cleansing from all unrighteousness. Don't say, I said it, I did it, I said it, I did it, and I receive the forgiveness and the cleansing of that unrighteousness by the blood of Jesus Christ. Where my sin has abounded, your grace has much more abounded. This isn't too hard for you. And to receive that forgiveness, that mercy, that grace. So there is that side of before we confront, as far as the timing of when we confront, is we've got to first start by confronting ourselves. Then you confront after you confront God. If there's a person you feel like you need to confront, you need to confront God first. He wants to be confronted. In fact, he commands us to confront him. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be open." The Message puts it this way: don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This isn't a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. In other words, very candidly, Jesus is saying, ask, seek, knock. This is where we get into those, how am I going to do this? How would I confront? Lord, this hurts, and should I confront it? There's a lot of stuff that's in our head that God wants us to get out to him. It's another way of saying, you know, casting your cares on the Lord, he cares for you. And this is a little bit even more plain put in Philippians. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. This includes confronting stuff, confronting relationship issues, confronting things for that timing of knowing the when and the what and the how. Tell God what you need. Thank him for what he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. What is this talking about? This passage is about engaging God with those things that are in your heart, with those issues that are going on. He wants to be engaged. You know, you can talk to everybody you know about it, about a situation, about a relationship issue, and things that are going on. But until you've talked to God about it, you haven't prayed. We're called to pray. We're called to acknowledge him. And again, get drama out of your mind. Get goosebumps, get hype, get feeling, get there. You'll pour your heart out to him. But don't feel like you got to expect something dramatic in return to feel like he actually heard you. Not at all. This, again, is faith. This is when you're pouring your heart out to him, saying, God, what about this situation? It isn't fair. I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know how to address it. I've tried to do this. I tried to do that. But no matter what I do, Lord, I need your help. I'm confronting you, Father God, first. I'm confronting you in prayer. I need your grace. Prayer is so much different. God gives you something. You can talk to people and they could give you some sympathy, maybe some advice, some different things like that, and pray for you even. But when you talk to God about it, he gives you a peace that passes your understanding. You can come out of the presence of God, and this is where there is something that's going on in your heart where, you know, you're perplexed, confused, and you go into a place of prayer. And sometimes there's just something about getting what's in your heart out to God that causes the war to stop, that can cause it. Just, you know, he's on it. In other words, Jesus said, you know, the Proverbs says, acknowledge me in all your ways and I'll direct your paths. You're giving him something to direct. You're casting that care upon him. And I love how the Hebrew writer puts it here regarding Jesus himself. It says, therefore, in all things, he, Jesus, had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered being tempted, tested, and tried, he's able to run to the cry of, assist and relieve those who are being tempted, tested, and tried, and who therefore are being exposed to suffering. Jesus became just like us for these situations. You look at the life of Jesus, and he dealt with stuff. He dealt with people's situations, from people that were the closest to his disciple group, you know? I mean, even his inner circle. You had Peter who denied him 3 times that he didn't even know him to his face with cursing. From the most inner circle to other, certainly Judas, who betrayed him, and even his family, who didn't fully understand who he was. And of course, the Pharisees that were just go and try to trap him in his words. Everything that he said, he had that. He knew what that pressure was like. He knew what that emotional manipulation was like. He experienced that. And as you're coming before the throne of grace, there is a divine empathy there. There's a divine impartation of the Spirit of God. It doesn't fuel a victim complex, all right? It relieves suffering. That's different. Victim complex, you're the good guy, they're the bad guy. You know, God doesn't see you as the good guy and the person you're about to confront as the bad guy. He doesn't. He loves you both equally, cares for you, wants you both free. There's no vindictiveness in this, but there is an empathy in there that'll minister healing and strength and peace. Hebrews 4 says he's a sympathetic high priest. It's like he'll put his arm around you and pull you to himself. Say, I know what that feels like. I love you. I'm there for you. I can run to your cry and assist and relieve that suffering. That's a supernatural relief. That's not a public vindication where everybody sees that you're right. No. This is a very private spiritual between you and God. It's okay. It's like, man, praise God. I don't need anybody to line up. I don't care what people think. I just like, man, it's all right. Praise God. He gives you that supernatural relief that'll come to your side. I'm still for you. I'm still for you. There's something about the Holy Spirit. Who can be against you? People can still say things against you, but they can't successfully be against you. He's still ever living to make intercession for you. And there's something about when we're going to him that we're receiving that sense of his love. The security. I had related several weeks back. I woke up with this experience in the love of God. And it was like a supernatural experience. You know what I mean? It was like, and the way I described it is you got the noise-canceling sound buds. It was almost like that spiritually, where anything that was condemnation, criticism, it was just gone. And I just sensed the love and the grace of God. It was just like an atmosphere. And it was like, wow, this is awesome. This is amazing. In that place, not only do you feel his love, but you don't need to feel sorry for yourself about anything anymore. Victim complex has no purpose. You're loved completely by God. There is a love that he will minister to you here. It's not a love that you're perfect and you're the good guy. It's I love you and I'm with you and I'm going to sustain you. I care about you. I love you. There's an I love you in his merciful high priesthood that we come before the throne of grace. And again, this isn't, I don't want to get dramatic here. I don't want to be too dramatic about this. It's just experiencing that grace of God when you're getting what's in your heart out. And sometimes you're even saying, Father, help me get what's in my heart out. I don't even quite know how to say all this. I'm just going to say what I know to say right now. And if I need to say more later, I'll say more later. But God, I need your help. It is a confronting God first. You're saying, I'm putting this in your hands. You are Lord of this relationship situation. You're entrusting God with people. And that's the step that we're taking right here. So there is a confronting yourself. There's a confronting God, certainly. But there's also, after you confront the enemy, there's another aspect to this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. We know that there is an enemy. We know that there is a devil. The Bible says that he is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses them before God day and night and night and day. That's what he does. We praise God day and night and night and day. He's accusing the brethren day and night, night and day. That's almost like his phony opposite form of worship is this critical, hateful, bitter spirit, this critical spirit that wants to fuel every offense. There are demonic forces that are at work that are making things even bigger than what they are sometimes. You got to humble yourself to realize you can be played. Have you ever been played? Have you ever thought something was so wrong or so right and been absolutely wrong? Satan is an illusion artist. He is the master of deception. He is the father of lies. You know, sometimes you'll see the, you'll go to a magic show and you'll see him, you know, put the lady in the box and just have, you know, her head and her feet. And it's just like, you look at that and you say, that just can't be. You know, I know that's not possible, and yet I'm seeing it, and I don't understand it, I don't get it, but it just, and so on the surface, it looks like that's what it is, but you know it can't be. Satan is the master at that. He's the master at deceiving things and making things look a certain way. That's why Jesus said, don't judge according to appearances. Judge righteous judgments. Sometimes to judge a righteous judgment, you can't just judge by the way it looks. No, that's not how we're supposed to judge. We judge righteous judgments, which many times means you're going to have to go under the hood. It means you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to seek. You're going to begin to say, Lord, show me what you want me to see. Because this is where Satan is accusing the brethren. This is where he's getting in there and trying to build up arguments and things that are going to, you know, designed to take us down. What does it look like? It says this, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls about like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of sufferings you are. James says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. In other words, there's another entity out there. If you're having an issue with a brother or a sister or a relationship, it's not just flesh and blood. It's not just you two. There is an enemy. And if before you confront, yeah, we confront ourselves, we confront God, and we also confront any powers and principalities that are also distorting your view. Satan is going to make everybody look evil and hideous. That's his job. And he will feel sorry for you. Oh, he will sympathize with you in a way that'll take you out. There's two kinds of sorrows. There's the sorrow of the world that works death. It will sympathize you until you take your own life. It'll sympathize you into suicide and self-destruction. That's a worldly sorrow. But there's a godly sorrow. There's a sorrow of that's of the Holy Spirit that'll work repentance in your heart. It'll turn things around. It'll breathe life back into you. It's not over. There is still hope. God still loves me. He is still for me. There is a powerful, loving, gracious pull of the Holy Spirit. And when that repentance happens, it says, what clearing of yourselves. What vehement desire. What vindication. Oh, it's powerful. But in the middle, there's an enemy. And he's playing on a worldly sorrow. But there's the Holy Spirit who's playing on a godly sorrow. And that's where there's this other point of confrontation spiritually. Where I'm coming up as it relates to my brother or sister. And I realize my own vulnerability as a human being. I could be seeing some things wrong here. You know, of course, we know they're seeing things wrong. We know they're seeing wrong things about you, right? Well, so we know it's possible. We just got to realize that it's also possible for us to be seeing things wrong too. So that's where we got to take that step. We got to, again, intentionally, I don't want to get dramatic and hype and things. The authority is not in the tone of your voice. The authority is not in anger. We know that the wrath of man doesn't work the righteous purpose of God. You're not going to get so mad that the devil's going to get afraid and run away. No. There's submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That's why I'm putting this one here. We've already submitted to God. We've already confronted God. We're getting our hearts right toward him. right? I'm not going from the offense to resisting the devil. Sometimes you can do that wrong. It's important to submit to God first. Get your heart right. Make sure that log's out of your own eye. Make sure you've confronted. Make sure you've prayed about it. Make sure you've acknowledged him in it. You've given him something to direct. And then from that place, we'll begin to resist the devil. And sometimes that's the way I'll do it, just as a matter of purpose. I'll just say, I'll go before the throne of grace. When you're kind of going to that place where you're in the throne of grace, he's a sympathetic high priest, he gets it. And I'll just say on purpose, Father, I'm about to resist the devil. And I'm going to take authority over him in your name because you've given me that authority. In other words, when I'm resisting the devil, it's not like I'm off on my own, me versus the devil. No, I'm in the throne of grace while I'm resisting the devil. You understand? It's not just, he's given me that authority. And so after I've poured my heart out to God and maybe I've dealt with some things, prayed through some things, you know, and again, you don't have to be so compartmentalized about this. You could be at the throne of grace getting some things out and all of a sudden you see something to take authority over. Take authority over it. That's great, all right? It's not hard rules. These are just some basic guidelines, principles. But you've submitted yourself to God and it's like, you know, Father, I, in the name of Jesus, I just take authority over any spirit of confusion, any spirit of fear, any spirit of false accusation that I'm listening to, that they're listening to, be open. In the name of Jesus, I resist it and I break that assignment off this relationship in Jesus' name, amen. Then I'll say, thank you, Father, for the authority that you've given me to be able to do that. I'll start with the Father, I'll resist the devil, and I bring it right back around to the Father. Thank you, Father. I'm doing this from the throne of grace. Again, I'm not looking for anything dramatic or spectacular. I don't have to feel anything. I'm just doing this by faith because the scripture has clearly told me to do that. And this is just kind of a final admonition along those lines. Scripture says, who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good. This is what a roar sounds like. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and lie against the truth. That the King James says strife. This wisdom does not descend from above. It's earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. All right? So you're dealing with that relationship stuff and you can just sense that. Jesus told us in Matthew 6, he said, if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness? That's where he's saying right now, he's saying, if you've got all that stuff, don't boast and lie against the truth. That wisdom doesn't descend from above. And this is where it's important, and I guess this is in the importance of resisting, is because there's a similarity between supernatural revelation from God by the Spirit and supernatural demonic wisdom from Satan. They're both spontaneous and they're both inspired. They're both inspired. Have you ever said something or heard something? It's like, wow, it could be a rant. It's almost like it was inspired. It was. There is spiritual inspiration where you're repeating what you hear on a demonic level the same way you can repeat what you hear him say on a spiritual level. There's such a similarity by the spontaneity and the authority that it's like, I need a compass to know what's what. Yeah, here's the compass. If there's a bunch of bitter envy and self-seeking and all a bunch of, you know, hurtful, painful junk, that's not God. That's why he says, don't glory. It's not God. It's not coming from him. That's why Jesus warns us, if the light you think you have is actually darkness, if it's actually demonic wisdom, how deep is that darkness? This is where the sorrow of the world is. This is where it's kind of compounded bad. Because and that victim complex and all that stuff there, that again, it's a worldly sorrow that's designed to take you out. We got to recognize it. And that's why we got to confront it. There's a spiritual side of this. And that's where you can experience. When you just resist by faith, there are thoughts, like we said, both are inspired. But when you take authority behind the spiritual aspect, behind those inspired thoughts, you can experience a quiet and a peace. Because the spiritual force behind those thoughts are broken in Jesus' name. All right? It's not a matter of outthinking it. It's a matter of taking your authority. It's a matter of resisting him steadfast in the faith. There is a spiritual component. It's not just flesh and blood. We really do wrestle. There is a real wrestling match that's against powers and principalities. It's a real scriptural valid component that we must take into consideration when we're talking about confronting stuff. and kind of pre-confronting the confrontation. It's part of it. It is part of that. And then finally, when do we confront? When God says it's time. Now let me say this. There have been many times when in my heart and in my mind, I really felt like I needed to confront something. By the time I got done confronting myself and confronting God and resisting the devil, hey, I didn't even have to confront it anymore. Probably most of the time, truth be told. You know, it's like, man, there's just no way out. It's just like checkmate. There's just no way out of the situation. It's amazing. You do that stuff and it's like, wow, I didn't even think of that. It's like relief. It's super, I just don't need it. I'm not agitated. I'm free. You know, I'm just suffer long, be kind, maybe pray, but it's just like, it's cool. It's like, you don't even always understand it. I remember, I kind of share this humorously a little bit, but it was probably several years back. I mean, maybe 10 years ago, I don't know. But I had bought this TV set, and it was like, you know, I bought a TV set, and I had buyer's remorse immediately. I settled for a TV that I didn't want, all right? I didn't want it. I mean, I wanted it, but it was like, it was a smaller TV than what I really wanted. Because that bigger TV was, you know, going to be more, and I just decided, I got to be responsible, economical here and save that extra $100, whatever it was. And then it was probably about, man, 6-8 months later, the TV I really wanted was probably almost, you know, half, not quite half price of the one I ended up getting, you know. And I was so frustrated. In my mind, I was trying to figure out, how can I get around this? How can I justify buying another TV when I got a TV that's already close? And it was like checkmate. There was just no way out, this situation. And one day I'm working in my office and all of a sudden I hear crash. And I go out and check out what's going on, and Caleb and Abby are playing Mario Wii, and Abby forgot to put the string around her hand. She threw the remote right into the TV set. And my first thought was, I never thought of that. Then my next thought was, I'm the dad. I'm supposed to be mad about this, right? And my corrective response wasn't as, you know, passionate as it probably would have, should have been. He's like, come on, Abby, you know, whatever. I said what I needed to say in kind of a half-hearted way, but in my thinking, man, it's amazing. And, you know, we had to get another TV. I don't know what to say. So you got to do what you got to do. But sometimes I will say that it sounds kind of a goofy, but it's amazing how strange God can work things out between people and relationships. And sometimes other people will get involved, and some it'll be just kind of a strange, interesting thing about how God can restore things in ways that you didn't plan. Problem, situation, I'm going to confront, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. You're free. You're doing what you've done what you needed to do. You've taken those steps. You've got your heart right, clear, taken authority of the spiritual side of it. There's really nothing else to do. Sometimes there still is, though. So when do you do it still? When do you actually go forward and do that confrontation when somebody's overtaken? When God says it's time. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He won't speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So praise God for that. We're not, again, not just on our own twisting out there trying to figure out when. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, including the truth of when it is time to go ahead and confront that. There's two ways. I mean, again, this is not exhaustive. This is just some basic general guidelines of the timing. But there's two kind of points to keep in mind as the Holy Spirit's beginning to communicate about that timing. First of all, there's going to be a certain quality of wisdom. We read about that demonic wisdom before. As you continue to read in James 3, it says, but the wisdom that is from above is pure, it's peace-loving, it's gentle at all times, it's willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. This is the other wisdom that's from above that's also inspired. In other words, as you're praying about this and praying about that time, this is when you begin to pray, Lord, show me what to say. This is when you begin to get wisdom from above. That comes like revelation. All of a sudden, you can see how to address something. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be always received right. It doesn't mean that it's going to be received perfectly. It's not a guarantee of anything. You're doing your part. You're doing your due diligence on your end to where you can stand before God and say, my heart is clear in this. I've done what I know I need to do before you. This is between you and God. This is not about a show. This is not about political. This is not about getting likes and votes. This is about doing what's in your heart. And you know you can stand before God and say, I did it right. I did what you put in my heart to do. And so God will begin to show you things, and this can be an evidence of timing. He can show you how to address some things. You'll see that wisdom is without partiality. It's without hypocrisy. It's willing to yield to others. It's willing to listen. So when you begin to understand and realize how you can talk to a person about that, it can come across in a way that it's supposed to, you know, in a way that's going to be edifying, in a way that's going to be understanding, in a way that they're going to be communicating it, you know, in a way that's full of mercy and good fruits, all right? Yes, there can be differences, but God can show you how to communicate that, that truth in love, in a graceful manner. And when he shows you in a way, and it witnesses with your spirit that this is wisdom from above, that can be a signal that it's getting close. It's getting time. And when that time comes, then you begin to say what you hear the Father say. You begin to say what you hear him saying with his wisdom that's from above. That's a sign. The other sign aspect of this is just the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule like his umpire, continually in your hearts, dealing, deciding and settling with finality, all questions that arise in your minds, in that peaceful state to which as members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live, and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. In other words, there is a sense of peace. There is an it is time peace. There's a sense of wisdom. There's a sense of peace. And it's like, okay, I can by faith begin to take this next step. Now, it'll still be a step of faith. All right? If you get progressed to this timing point where it's time to confront something, but you're going to go there, as the scripture says, as somebody who's spiritual, considering yourself. That's why the wisdom that's from above is that way. It's pure. It's gentle. It's considerate. There's no partiality. There's no hypocrisy. There's a sense of you're not talking down. In other words, you're talking respectfully. Yet plainly and clearly from what you've got in your heart and honestly, you know, as God gives you the grace to do that. And so as we're looking at this morning again, when is it time to confront? There's a few things that we do before we get into that area of confrontation. We start with ourselves. We start by confronting ourselves, getting that log out of our own eyes, making sure that our heart is clear before God. Again, it doesn't mean you're perfect or you have to be perfect before you can confront somebody or something. It just means that you got to get your heart clear. You got to get your conscience clear before God, that you're not confronting on top of a guilty conscience. That can cause that blur in your eye. It can cause you to not see them correctly and make wrong accusations and things like that. After you confront God in prayer, submitting it to him, knowing that you've gotten what's in your heart out, knowing that you've gotten those things in your heart set out before him, you know that he's working with it, he's working on it, and receiving the peace that passes your understanding. That's the thing that secures us, that gives us time as we're getting spiritual to confront. After you confront the enemy, resisting any demonic forces at work, realizing there are powers and principalities at work here. They're not skipping over you in your situation. You're in this world just like all your other brethren in the world. You're dealing with that fog of war, fog of spiritual warfare, if you will, of the enemy who's trying to mess things up. And then when God says it's time, he will guide by his spirit, by his wisdom. He'll give you that sense of peace and that sense of timing, praise God, so that we can take that next step, speaking the truth in love, having that right heart, that attitude, our heart is for that restoration. So when is it time to confront? Praise God, as we begin that work of getting spiritual. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just the work of your spirit in this place. We thank you for your word. Lord, we just pray right now, Heavenly Father, that you just begin to help each one of us, Heavenly Father God. Is there are issues, things that we need to resolve, maybe situations that you would just begin to help us with that work, that preparatory work, Father, in our own hearts. Lord, as we look to you for the timing of what that might be. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, dear Heavenly Father, you see my relationship issues. Help me. I look to you. I want my heart clear from all guilt and shame. I want that clear conscience that only comes through the blood of Jesus. I want that clear heart that forgives even as you have forgiven me. Help me to realize when I ask for forgiveness, when I give forgiveness, it's just by faith. And you honor that. I don't have to feel a certain way. I just need to obey your word by faith. Your Holy Spirit will help me. I look to you, Father God. Help me to get what's in my heart out to you. Help me to pray about that situation. And I will receive your peace. And I will keep my mind in a godly place. And I thank you, Father, that as I stand before that throne of grace, there's a divine empathy that I can receive. And there's a divine authority that I have to resist the accuser of the brethren. And I thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit will lead and guide me now into all wisdom, into all timing of any confrontation. I commit it to you now, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. Again, this is just kind of some basic guideline stuff, okay? It's not, don't get really hung up on order and all that kind of stuff. These are just basic principles to keep in mind if you're feeling like there's a situation you need to confront, to kind of do some due diligence in your own heart, you know, to just to make sure that you've confronted, you know, yourself, God, demonic powers, things like that. Clear the air so that as God shows you stuff and how to do stuff, you're walking, you're talking, you're speaking from that place. Amen. Praise God.